Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learn, number 43. Dan Casey here. Unfortunately, I am only in the intro this episode. I know, I was out of town. It's a bummer, but what are you going to do? It already happened. Nothing I can do about it except stew silently. And stew I should, because today's guest is fantastic. I am really bummed that I was not there, because I'm a big fan of his work. He's got a brand new show on Hulu called Deadbeat, and you may know him from such films as Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. I'm a huge fan, and Razzle's lucky enough to sit down with him, so put your hands together, put your ears together, put your heart together, for Today We Learned, number 43, with Tyler Labine.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Hypercolor.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Hypercolor were pretty neat. I kind of wish there's few things I wish would come back. Hypercolor, if done right, I would wear some if done right. Like if there was like a V-neck Hypercolor that H&M sold,
yeah,
I would maybe wear one of those.
What they should do, and what they should have done though initially, was they should have like kind of color treated the exceptionally sweaty regions like the armpits and the
Absolutely.
Crotch and the butt crack, so that they didn't, you know, highlight.
It changes color and instantly you can tell how hot or sweaty you've been.
I had like cross-colored gym shorts. I remember that was pretty embarrassing. It's like infrared outline of my dick in my pants.
It's like gray t-shirts. Like how come it's 2014? How come they can't figure out how to make the armpits on gray t-shirts?
Like sweat resistant.
Yeah, sweat resistant. Or like light blue t-shirts.
I think they could do that.
Make them sweat resistant.
They don't want to.
No, no need to.
They don't want to. They're fucking with you.
No need to.
Extra cost. They know you'll keep buying gray shirts.
Yeah. Alrighty, so real quick here. That voice you're hearing, ladies and gentlemen, is the very talented actor Tyler Labine.
Hey-ho.
Now, real quick, just a quick rundown. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the past or not. It's called Today We Learned.
Okay.
And we sit down, and these are just bullet points of, you know, while the conversation goes on, these are just bullet points of random facts and trivia. Mm-hmm. Some of them are tailored to you. I did some research on you. And then it's just, you know, they're just fun jumping off points to chat about.
Okay.
We like to start off each show with the guest providing either a fun fact about themselves or something you learned recently.
Okay.
There's no pressure or no rules. It can be, you know, from an interesting, you know, Snapple cap fact or, you know, something about, you know, your childhood or whatever.
I have a – I don't know how crazy this is or interesting, but your friend and my friend, Joel David Moore.
Yeah, which
I just found out that
I'm
going
to talk about this. I mean, he told me to ask
the
you
Savannah,
about
think, yeah.
But oh, did he text you?
I just learned right now, like about half an hour ago, that you and him are friends. And that I was like, oh, you know, it eases the.
Yeah.
Because we've been like Twitter buddies kind of, I guess, for a while now. Yeah, like quite a while. And because for a while I thought you actually did start the. You were the president and founder of the Oprah Winfrey Network. No, I don't think I ever fell for that. But yeah, so that's a little fact, something I just learned.
Fun fact.
You and I share a common friend in Joel David Moore, who, if people don't know the name, they certainly would know the face. He's a very, very popular and talented character actor. And
yeah, he actually just did the podcast a couple weeks ago. Yeah, very good friend.
So people who are listening here probably know who he is more than they know who the fuck Tyler Labine.
No.
Tyler Labine?
No.
Brampton?
Is that how do you
Labine?
Labine. Yeah. So okay,
I was pretending like I'm so obscure that I don't even know my name.
Who is it? Like you look in the mirror and you're like, whoa, who the fuck is that guy?
You guys get shitty guests on here. Tyler Labine.
It's pronounced Tillet.
Oh, Tillet Labine. That guy.
The R is French. He's from Canada. He's from Canada.
He's Canadian.
we'll talk about this Joel story a little later.
Okay.
Now, Tyler, you were mentioning you had an 8-ball jacket in high school.
Uh-huh.
Was this the high school in Brampton? I'm trying to think of Brampton. Like, I'm thinking Brampton, it's a city, but it's actually like a subdivision, right?
No. It's a
city.
So
your address would be Brampton, Ontario?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I lived in a subdivision of Brampton called Peel, I believe. P-E-E-L. Okay. That's a really bad name for a subdivision. But yeah, I was in junior high school in Brampton. Okay. I moved to British Columbia when I was like 13 to Vancouver. So Brampton was only home until I was like of the very tender, ripe age of 13.
Okay.
Right around the time with the hypercolor crotch incident in gym class.
And you're 36 years old.
36. Yeah.
36, cool.
Yeah, so that was a while ago. Yeah. But Brampton is also home to Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Paulo Costanzo.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
Those are the only people that were ever born in Brampton.
Born in Brampton. Now, yeah. I was reading on Wikipedia. Now, for those of you that don't know, Brampton is a Canadian city in southern Ontario. Mm-hmm. It's a suburban city. I said suburban. I need to, it's a suburban.
It's a suburb and.
It's a vehicle. It's a Chevrolet vehicle, suburban. It's a suburban city in the greater Ontario area, which is essentially like Glendale or I think like Burbank would be considered a suburb.
Yeah.
Of Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's like it just missed out on being part of the mega city. It's like just outside of the region.
Okay. Now, I also on Wikipedia it says Alan Thicke calls Brampton home. Is that
I just saw that cuz I rattled off that list without even looking at your little cheat sheet here.
Yeah.
Russell Peters, yeah, I'd buy that cuz Brampton is it's a super brown town.
Okay.
Alan Thicke, I don't know.
Yeah.
But probably.
Who knows?
Russell Peters is a funny guy.
Yeah, he's funny.
We're all very proud of him.
He's one of the judges on the new latest season of Last Comic Standing.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just saw him in Chef, too.
Okay. Goddamn, that's a good movie.
Fuck, that movie's good,
Chef is a good movie. It's for those of you that don't know, Jon Favreau wrote and directed it.
As my wife calls him, Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau.
I cannot get her to stop.
Johnny Favs.
Johnny Favreau. Yeah. Great movie. How long did it take you to go out and eat a Cuban sandwich after you watched that movie?
I watched it at night and I forgot, but it's on my list.
It's on my list. It took me, I'd say, 12 hours. We went to bed and I got up the next day and I dropped my daughter off at school and I was like, Cuban sandwich for breakfast. And I went and got one.
Man, that just the whole movie, I'm wishing there was an intermission because I wanted some form of food.
Yeah.
So
something good. But you would be inevitably let down.
Yeah.
Because the food. The look of that food in the movie was like
very professional,
and they didn't like. It's not like they did like food doctoring. They didn't. No. There wasn't like a food artist on set, you know, like display Chinese food where they shellac it or whatever. Yeah. This was like good looking real food.
Yeah, like they had world renowned chefs like working on it and stuff like that.
Well, and he, from what I understand, the Favs trained was under the tutelage of Roy. Is his name Roy Choi? I think it is.
I think so.
He's like a food truck legend.
Yeah.
And, like, all that knife skill stuff in the beginning of the movie with the check, that's all him. That's all – he trained for, like, a year
really?
To be a chef. Yeah.
That's so dangerous. Like, anytime I see that, it's like I get nervous. I get the – like, I'm not a dad, but I have nephews, and it's like you're a parent. So, as you know, it's like that – like, almost like Terminator or RoboCop vision where when you're watching your kids or whatever, everything's like danger, sharp object.
Yeah. Stop doing that. That's the immediate response.
That couch is too high to be jumping on.
Yeah.
And
I get that one.
Anytime I've seen like chefs chopping all that knives, it's like, danger. Like,
I'm a chef as well.
Okay.
Semi-trained, I would say.
Okay.
And my knife skills are amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I'm a dandy chef. And my knife skills are great, but Jon Favreau in that movie, I was like, holy shit, that takes time.
Yeah.
There's no way that there was like a consultant on set that was like, oh, just do it like this. And he was like, oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of time. So yeah. I was impressed with that.
A couple of fun facts about Toronto here, since Brampton is a subdivision of Toronto, suburban city of Toronto.
We can't figure out what to call that thing, can we? Subdivision,
subdivision.
Suburb,
subdivision, I think, is just like a
subset.
Like a street with like
a sub. Yeah, it's like where they take. A
subdivision would be like on Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Peel was. Peel Village. That's what it was called.
Okay.
And that's where I went to junior
high. Highland Estates or Lion Estates and Back to the Future.
Arlington Heights. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing, yeah.
Toronto is, fun fact for those of you listening, everything's fun facts for those of you that are listening if you enjoy cool things.
Uh-huh.
Toronto is the most populous city in Canada.
I would like to add one little amendment to that.
Okay.
It's not... actually true.
Oh, okay.
It is the most populous city in Canada if you count all of its outlying parts.
Okay, so metropolitan area.
Yeah, the mega city, as they call it, basically all they did was they took all the suburbs of Toronto that were within a certain distance, which some of them are really far, like a half an hour outside of Toronto.
Oh, wow.
Like, well, you're part of Toronto now. And then they gave themselves
the
title.
I want to be included.
Yeah. And then that bumped their total up to like 12 million people or whatever. Okay. But in the downtown core, I believe Montreal is still more populated than the actual city of Toronto.
Okay, but the metropolitan, like if you included the surrounding, Toronto would be okay.
It's big. It's a big one. Yeah.
Okay. The history of Toronto began in the late 18th century when the British Crown purchased its land from the
Mississaugas.
That's
right.
Of the New Credit. The settlement.
I don't know what the fuck that means. Yeah. I'm only familiar with the old credit. I had never heard of the new credit. So,
the settlement established there became York. So basically, I'm not going to read all of this, but essentially, Toronto was named York up until 1834, in which case, after the Battle of York, it was renamed Toronto.
Sure. And there are parts of Toronto where there are still remnants of York and things that are, you know, historically labeled as York. There is the township of York. I don't know if it's called a township, but there is a place called York near Toronto. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's New York.
You know, I was
in the United States of America.
Now, do you know? Okay. Now, obviously, here's the thing. Everybody on this podcast that listens knows I'm not a scientist. I'm not super smart, which is one reason why I like this show.
You're science-y.
I like to learn things and all that. And I was researching the fuck out of New York to see, because when I found out that Toronto was York time ago, I didn't know if it was, you know, then there's the Duke of York in England or whatever. So I didn't know if New York was, you know, acquired after or was named after, but no connection.
I think the thing with York is that it's a very British title or name or whatever. And, you know, Canada was a bunch, you know, of British colonies. And, you know, New York was clearly populated by a lot of Brits. And, you know, I think that York just kind of was like a very popular at that time.
A lot, they wanted to
turn of the
new,
century. Yeah.
Yeah. New this. New Jersey. New everything.
New Amsterdam. New Amsterdam. Wasn't it? Yeah. New York was originally New Amsterdam, I think.
I wish. Like, it kind of upsets me that there's, you know, North and South Dakota and West Virginia and Virginia, and they didn't stick with that and name it like New Virginia or New
Virginia,
New Dakota.
they went geographically, I guess. They went instead of like chronologically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with North and South Carolina is the Carolinas.
Yes. Yeah.
But those guys are, they're two very different states, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very different.
Very different.
Very different.
One state likes their sweet barbecue sauce. The other one likes their vinegar-based barbecue sauce.
Well, it's interesting you bring
up... That's the main difference.
It's interesting you bring up food because here's a food fact about Toronto to an extent.
Okay.
On the show, we like to have different origins of like video games or candies or foods like that. Now, there's an old candy I used to eat when I was a child. Now,
where this is going.
I'm from Michigan.
Okay.
Which is close to
Toronto. I've been to Michigan. I've been to Frankenmuth.
Frankenmuth,
more
Michigan.
More times than I could even tell you.
Frankenmuth, Bavarian Inn has some goddamn good chicken.
Yeah.
Frankenmuth is, believe it or not, like 30 minutes from my town.
No way.
Bay City, Michigan I'm from.
I've heard of it.
I-75, if you're familiar with the highway, goes right through it. It's right on the – I'm holding up my hand here. It's essentially where the thumb –
I can vouch for that,
It's where the thumb meets the forefinger, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
It's right on the bay. Clever name.
The armpit of your hand.
Yeah.
The thumb pit. That's your thumb pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we used to go to the world's largest indoor Christmas decoration store, and they have that saltwater taffy – Bronner's. And there was like a saltwater taffy factory there.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I remember the – for me, that was like going to the Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
I was like, holy
yeah,
shit.
They had some good – then they had some –
good-ass taffy.
They had some fudge, too. They would ship in the fudge there. Yeah,
and they would let you take tours of the – I remember you could go in and they kind of like – I remember at one point they sort of gave it a bit of a half-ass shot of like making it seem a little like Willy Wonka-ish in there. Yeah. There was like some of the – like the machines were probably bright colors and stuff. But it was still just like a shitty, dingy warehouse.
Yeah.
But whatever. It was great. Yeah. Good-ass taffy.
Yeah. Bronner's has a really – I've gone there a lot. My parents run a swimming pool store in Bay City. And when it's not swimming pools –
They sell swimming pools?
Yep. I used to dig and dig swimming pools when I was a kid and do a lot of pool chemicals. Like you'd sell the swimming pools.
Yeah.
You'd make the money off the chemicals, essentially.
That's how you make your real money, right?
Yeah. But when it's not swimming pool season, it turns into a Christmas store.
Sure.
So we would always, you know, Christmas is in my blood for, you know, over 30 years. You know?
Wow.
And we would always go to Bronner's because it's 24, it's all year, 364 days.
Yeah.
365 days.
Whatever it is.
Whatever.
A year.
It's a year. All year round, it's a giant.
All 59 weeks.
However, whatever calendar you're looking at.
I would like to put it in perspective, though.
Yeah, explain.
And I want to know,
picture.
This is how I remember it, and then you can say bullshit or not.
Yeah.
But I remember going there and being like, I mean, it got, as I aged, it got less and less impressive. And smaller, but the last time I went, I think I was like 11.
Okay, long time ago.
And I remember it as like, like the Comic-Con of like Christmas stores. Like walking in there, it was just like, it's like Hall H. I mean, it was like crazy.
It's like if you've ever been to like one of those firework warehouses off of the side of a highway.
Yeah.
It's like five of those.
Yeah, like humongous, right? Like humongous. I'm not exaggerating that.
With
it's huge.
Christmas trees with wreaths, with lights.
Miniatures. Everything.
Animatronic Santa Clauses.
Like it's metal like, trees? Like they're like the last people still to sell those like aluminum trees. I remember when I was a kid.
It was, everything. Like yeah. There was everything in there. And it was it's like the world's. They got billboards. I can't remember what their slogan is or whatever, but it's a huge Christmas.
It's like
Christmas
if Santa Claus was a giant, like the biggest giant ever.
Yeah.
And that was his like shed that he never cleaned out. It was like fucking chuck it in the shed. Yeah. That's what it was like.
That's
in there.
Where the shed.
Stuff on top of stuff.
Yeah. So I'm from Michigan, which is near Toronto. And I don't know if we've only had these candies in Michigan because it's, you know, near Canada or not. But there was a candy called Sixlets.
Ugh.
I don't know if you remember these.
I so badly want to.
They were like a round. I'm going to pull up a picture here for you. But they were essentially round candies in like a sleeve of like plastic.
Yeah, or they like was it because I they remember were they were like the fizzy candies, like that kind of sleeve.
Yeah,
like
they were. Let's see here. I'm pulling it up here. They were like those. They were like a sleeve of round pellets.
Oh, yeah.
And like a thing of plastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're just sugar, right?
They're just chocolate.
Oh, they're chocolate?
Yeah, they're chocolate. They're like malted chocolate, like Sixlets. I'm going to read a brief thing here from Wikipedia. Sixlets are small, round, candy-coated, chocolate-flavored candy made by Oak Leaf Confections.
Chocolate-flavored candy.
Yeah. In Toronto, Ontario. That's why I bring that up. Sixlets are made in Toronto, Ontario. The chocolate centers are made from a mixture of cocoa and carob, giving them an allegedly malted taste. They are often sold in thin cellophane packages that hold them in a tube-like formation. The colors include red, brown, yellow, green, and orange.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been around since the 1960s. And in 2003, Hershey Foods sold the rights of Sixlets brand to Sweetworks in Ontario. But I always remembered those when I was a kid. I like the corner.
Did you like them?
I enjoyed them. Like you'd open the pack up, or you wouldn't even need to open the pack.
Oh shit! Yes,
because they're round.
These I had those. Probably from going to the Christmas store. Yeah.
Yeah, they're they had
packaged inside of a candy can.
Yeah, they had Easter colors. And then they also had what we're looking at here is like M&M does it a lot now. They have like a hollow clear
big
candy cane with a red top, and they fill it with colored.
Yeah,
with
but I remember M&M. Those specifically now.
These are Sixlets in the candy cane. And I just remember those vividly. And when I was looking up, like, I was trying to find, like, Toronto candies or Canadian candies.
That's funny.
That was the first that came up. And it's like, God damn, I remember those so much. Because they were round. If you pinched the end of it, it would force the other end open and just shoot, like, missiles into your mouth.
There's a lot. You could do that with, like, Rainbow. I remember that. There are a lot of British candies for me that we get in Canada that you can't get here.
Really?
There are tons of
like,
good.
What was some good ones?
Like Flake. You ever had a Flake?
I have not. I'm writing it down.
Oh,
I'm going to look into it.
Shit, Flake is good, man. Flake is like everything you like about if you like an Aero bar, let's say. But there's no rhyme or reason to a Flake.
Yeah.
It's like chocolate. There's just sort of like some of it sticks together, some of it flakes apart. It's got lots of air in it. It's good. It's just like a thin tube of like awesome Cadbury chocolate.
Oh wow!
Is Cadbury Canadian or British? I think it might be British. Cadbury cream egg. You guys get those?
I think that's in the UK. We get those here.
Yeah.
We only get those in like Easter time, but overseas in Canada and in the UK, I think they're all year round,
all the time.
British.
It's British.
Tout le temps. It's French for all the time.
Okay.
The other candy, like weird British candy, I love is there was this. Orange sherbet. You ever have that?
Orange sherbet, yeah.
It's like a little
I've had the ice
container.
Cream.
No, this is like a powdered
it looks
like a firecracker.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, little and fat and it's got a big piece of black licorice sticking out of the top. And you kinda unwrap the top and take that the licorice and you suck on the licorice and dip it in this like dehydrated orange sherbet.
Okay.
Not sherbet, it's called. And it's like I don't even know how to describe it. It's kind of shitty. it almost hurts after a couple of licks. You're like, oh, it almost like it like creates a little divot in the middle of your tongue. That, it's like the, remember Fun Sticks?
Yeah.
It's like you just can't stop.
You can't stop.
You've damaged your tongue so bad. Yeah.
Like it almost like the it's so good at first, but then as you continue eating it, it like makes your tongue raw.
It hurts you. It really hurts you. Yeah. It takes a while to recover too. Like I remember, but I love that shit. And Macintosh caramel. You remember that? It was like the one that came in these little like tartan
never had those.
Themed
I
boxes.
Had the Brock square caramels. Have you ever had those?
Oh yeah, but this is like a flat, like rectangle.
Okay,
and you would put it in the fridge.
Okay,
get it cold, and then throw it on the floor in the box, and it would go like shatter inside the box, and then you just take your little pieces of caramel, or you could just like mung on the thing normally. But yeah, that was
good. We used to do that with do you remember Laffy Taffy? Not Laffy Taffy.
Oh yeah.
Tangy Taffy. Do you remember Tangy Taffy?
Is it the cousin of Laffy Taffy?
Well, I think nowadays I think it's it's the same thing.
You lump them in.
But in the 80s, like I think Laffy Taffy, the Wonka Industries, I think purchased Tangy Taffy. But when I was a child, there was Laffy Taffys, which were the small squares.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there were Tangy Taffys, which were a bar of just taffy.
Ooh.
And it was the same pliable material. I can't think of the scientific term, but if you're slow with it,
yeah,
it's like Batman's circle.
Yeah, you can stretch it
you
apart.
You can stretch it, but if you use force, it breaks, it shatters.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, like the caramel where, you know, like if you, you know, you could either A, like really, if you wanted to pull
like
your teeth
Charleston
out.
Like a Charleston chew. It breaks off. Like
if you have a loose tooth and you want to get rid of it easily, just chew and pull. Or if you just want little pieces of the taffy, you just slam it against, like just whack it and it just shatters into pieces.
Oh, God. Tangy Taffy. It's like, I can't decide what I like more, the alliteration or the rhyming.
Yeah.
Laffy Taffy. Or tangy taffy.
Yeah.
I don't know. They kind of went separate ways there.
And Airheads. I don't like Airheads.
Or Now and Laters. I don't like those either.
Oh, I was just going to. You don't like Now and Laters?
No, because I like Starburst better. Okay. I thought they were about like a superior candy.
Oh, it's far superior. Yeah. Like Now and Laters, the flavor is not nearly as sharp as Starburst, and they're harder to chew. Like, that's one thing where you put those in between your teeth and they're gone regardless.
Your teeth are fucked.
Yeah.
Lemonheads are good. Did you say Lemonheads already?
I didn't say Lemonheads. Lemonheads are good.
Mike and Ike's.
Mike and Ike's are good. Do you remember Boston baked beans?
Yeah, man. That's the bottom rung. like that and Popeye cigarettes are like the most ghetto budget candies you can buy.
Yeah. You go to a 1985 candy store, you know, mom and pop candy store, and those are going to be like on the bottom shelf.
So bad, man. they're not even peanuts, right? They're like chia seeds or something. Yeah, they use something that isn't even a nut. And they're like, hey, these are peanuts in here. Bullshit. And I remember when Popeye cigarettes.
Yeah.
Actually, they used to have like a little red tip on them. Remember? So it looked like, I got a little lit there. Then they made them so they didn't have a red tip because that was like too suggestive.
Yeah.
Then they started, they wouldn't even call them Popeye cigarettes anymore. They're called Popeye candy sticks.
Yep.
And they're just white, shitty, chalky sticks.
So bad.
What's the idea now?
Then, shortly after, do you remember the candy cigarettes that were they were gum?
They would blow the one pop of smoke out.
You could blow powdered sugar out that made it look like smoke.
Yeah,
and then it was like gum, and then you could chew it.
That was the shit. That was cool. That's why I started smoking.
Yeah, I remember. I used
to done candy suppliers.
We used to it was the dumbest thing. But when I was in like grade school or whatever, I had like you go to like businesses. You know how they'd give out like pens with their logo on it or whatever. Yeah. We got these little keychains that were round, about the size of a quarter. And there was a red light on it. Like you press it and it was a red light. And I would always go in like the bathroom of like grade school and turn the light off and like press it, holding it up to my mouth. And it would look like I was lighting up or something.
Oh,
it was
my
so
God.
Stupid.
It's so funny.
I was like, such a dumb kid.
We did shit like that too. Up at our cottage in Northern Ontario.
Yeah.
Wabashine is the name of the place. There was like all these weird little reeds that would wash up on the shore, which were just like porous, like bull grass basically. Yeah. Or bull reeds, and you could dry them out by the fire, and then pick them up, and light them on fire and smoke them.
Oh wow!
Like you know, we didn't know how to inhale or anything, but we just like light them and like just like you know plumes of smoke.
Just plumes.
And our parents would sit there like going like, "Oh, it's so cute. Look at these guys like smoking, washed up." Like debris
who
from
knows
the lake.
What these have been floating in.
There's bugs inside of them. Like you break them open, there's little teeny like mites and things inside. Of them. We're just like killing colonies.
Not knowing any better.
And smoking them. Oh, did some crazy shit.
Did you ever – we used to take like the cigarette candy boxes or whatever, yeah, or Mike and Ike boxes, and they're empty and you could make whistles out of them.
Oh, yeah. We did. It's good to see that the differences across the border are not that big.
Like you guys obviously had the circle game.
Oh, shit. You got me.
I got him.
You owe me a punch.
I owe you a punch. Here's the thing about that. I've been trying so hard to track down the origin of that because everybody, regardless of age, knows about the circle game. And it's, you know, I just need to say the circle game and everybody knows what it is. But
except for the one guy right now is going, what are they talking about? I can't listen to this.
I can't listen and not see visuals. I need visuals. no matter where or what time, you know about it.
Yeah.
You knew about it as a child. So yeah. It's like one of those things.
The circle game, and everyone knows the rules. I mean, there may be variations on it,
but
essentially, you look at it, you get a punch.
He's got to be blown
away. If I can get my finger in the hole before you pull it away,
same
rule. I get to punch you, right? Yeah.
Same rules worldwide over decades.
Yeah. You know? Very, very long time again.
Long time. Been
my dad, like my dad.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's how I learned it. My dad was like, here, I want to hit my kids. I'll turn it into a game that I can always win. but we had a weird game called the B game.
Okay.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
But way harder.
Okay.
This was in Brampton.
Okay.
Again, it's a bit of a rough suburb.
Okay.
So a lot of me and my friend, all we did was fight. That was sort of like our way to pass the time. So this was like a way to fight that was, again, sort of fair and judged. And anytime you said, and this went on for 3 years, I guess, from grade 6 till the end of grade 8. You just, depending on whose company you're in, if you said anything, any word with the letter B in it, you had to make sure that you rubbed the bottom of your chin like that, like this. So if just try it with me for 1 second.
Okay.
While you're talking, the letter B, I don't know how often it actually comes up, but when it does, you need to brush your chin with your hand.
Yeah.
Anyway, and if you didn't and someone was there to catch you with it, they were allowed to hit you like anywhere. In the face.
Oh, wow.
Right in the chest, which I got a few times.
It's kind of like
they could kick you in the nuts. It was a bad game.
It's kind of like one of those. There was an old drinking game called Bull Moose. And I just for everybody there, I said Bull Moose and I rubbed the bottom of my chin.
You got to do it before somebody.
And it was a drinking game.
Drinking
game. It was a drinking game in Michigan where I never played it because I don't drink alcohol, but all my friends did. And when you were – if you got caught holding like your glass in your left hand, they could punch you or whatever. You had to always hold it in your right hand or whatever.
We had that. Was the kangaroo court, you know, all this stuff for – what was the name of the game? Yeah, you had to drink with your – there was a name for it. If anybody ever saw you drinking with your left hand, which was shitty for me because I'm left-handed. You had to chug your beer or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I never understand. Like, I get it, but I don't because it's like the whole purpose of getting drunk is to – I mean, the whole purpose of drinking at parties is to get drunk.
Well, especially when you're young. You're not like – you're not, you know, so sipping like on a game single malt scotch.
The penalty is to drink more is kind of silly to me.
It's a double-edged sword. Yeah. It's like, part of it is like, get me as drunk as I can. But then later in the evening
–
especially when you're like 16, 17, you don't really know where your tolerance level is. You don't know how well you're going to hold it together. You really want to make out with that girl. You know,
you need liquid confidence.
You get the finger banger. You need to have your swag in check. And you just get that one beer over the line. You know, they're like, chug, and you chug it. And your guy friends think you're hilarious, but you're not getting that girl anymore. Yeah. Or you're puking. It's no fun.
here's a fun fact, completely off topic here. Okay. Sesame Street. You're familiar with Sesame Street.
Oh, we blew right past this pitch.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Sometimes we go in order, sometimes we don't, but here's a fun fact. Oscar the Grouch, for those of you who are familiar with Oscar the Grouch, he originally was orange. He used to be orange, and he was changed to green before the second season of Sesame Street.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that till I was reading this either. Initially, the Muppet characters on Sesame Street, and here's a couple some facts about them as well. Initially, the Muppet characters on Sesame Street would not actually appear on Sesame Street itself, but be relegated to the intermediary segments where they're actually doing all the teaching. Muppets creator Jim Henson wanted them to be integrated into the series, suggesting a giant bird and a creature living in the neighbor's trash can. The character was developed by Sesame Street head writer John Stone and Jim Henson based on the personality of a magnificently rude waiter that they encountered. Based on the character outline, puppeteer Carol Spinney was inspired by the voice of a New York City taxi driver hailed when he was going to work on it for the first time. When he first got in, the driver asked him, "Where to, Mac?" His name's source of some debate. However, most sources suggest it's derived from the name of the restaurant where they encountered that rude waiter, and it was named Oscar's Tavern. And yeah, I didn't know that. I always, because I grew up, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and I just remember multiple Muppets and monsters already on Sesame Street.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently,
you remember the inception of it.
I don't remember the inception. And apparently, Sesame Street, like the original. Sesame Street originally only had the two puppets on the actual street, which were
Big
Bird and Oscar.
Oscar the Grouch.
And I guess maybe thinking back now, I guess I don't ever recall Bert and Ernie ever being on the street.
No, they were in their apartment usually.
Yeah,
right?
So I guess that would make sense that
it sounds Oscar like the show got taken hostage by the puppets.
Yeah.
Like eventually people were just like, more puppets, yeah. And more people were out of jobs. And
well, I was also reading further on to that, I didn't include it here, but Sesame Street was one of the first children's programming to actually do research amongst psychological testing amongst what children learned, as well as how to convey things and what's the best way to what they did psychological research as to what was the best way to teach certain topics. And partly one of the things they realized was they thought that like the attention span, they had the puppets to help teach, but they were losing the children's attention spans in the neighborhood scenes
with
Gordon and all of them. So that's why they realized we need to get puppets infused in here to really keep things going. So they infused the puppets into the actual Sesame Street neighborhood to keep the children engaged while watching.
So they were the first people to like do creepy focus testing on groups of children and be like, what are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
More
especially,
puppets.
Yeah, especially when Gordon died. I don't know if you remember when that episode.
Was that a real death?
He really died. He really died. So they, you know, they ended up writing him up. Was it Gordon? I think Gordon died. Or maybe it was...
Gordon was the black guy with the shaved head.
Well, there were two. No. Gordon was the black guy with the shaved head. Who's the guy who died? Aerosol, can you look that up? Gordon was the shop owner, I think.
I had the Sesame Street toys.
Okay.
The Fisher-Price toys. I remember, like, they were all bald. Which was confusing to me, and I was like, "Oh, that's-
Gordon was the black bald guy, I think."
Mr. Hooper.
Mr. Hooper was the trinket shop owner.
Yeah.
He's the one who died.
And what was the woman's name?
Maria, right?
Was it Maria? It was Maria, but she was the
Rosemary
Latin
think, right?
lady, and there was a black woman as well.
Yep. And then there was the skinny white guy who kind of looked like the guy from Billy Madison, where he was like, "You will miss this putt." He kind of looked like that guy, but he wasn't.
Oh, Joe Flaherty?
Yeah, he kind of looked like Joe Flaherty. But he wasn't. He was what was the white guy? I can't remember the white guy's name on it. But
what was the name of the black Susan.
Oh, Susan.
Susan, man. Yeah, I love Susan.
There was Susan, Rosemaria, Gordon.
I can't remember. Mr. Hooper. I remember having a big... I think I can call it a crush because I didn't really know what it was. But with Susan, I remember being like, I love you.
Yeah.
I love something about you. I want a piece of you to stay with me.
Yeah.
I would sleep with her little doll, the Fisher-Price, which was like unrecognizable as Susan.
Yeah.
Just was like a green body like a bald black
head. Told you what it was and you believed
him. I was like, oh, I love her.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's interesting, though.
Yeah.
I do know that Sesame Street at one point, the idea that Bert and Ernie were more than just roommates became like a big sort of...
huge underground.
Well, that was a big cultural sort of turning point, I think, for a certain... demographic, right?
Yeah,
that they were putting a openly sort of gay couple.
They did sleep
on
in
kids
different
television.
Beds, though.
Yeah, but it was
nobody denied
when people were like activists were like, homophobic groups were like, hey, are they
and
a gay
they
couple?
Just,
and they were like, well,
man, we don't know. They're puppets. Yeah,
they're puppets. Man, get over it. I remember thinking that was really cool, though.
I tell you what, those the Burton the old like before, like in the early years before they really. Started hindering like the humor and before a lot of the older, the older writer, you know, before they started getting new writers and really making it a kids show. And it always was a kids show, but some of those, like the Bert and Ernie scenes or like, there was a lot of, Originally, like, Cookie Monster was like a figment of Ernie's imagination or
That's
whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And Cookie Monster would only interact with, like, Bert and Ernie. And a lot of those old, like, they're on YouTube, and they're so goddamn funny.
Well, same they're with, so with the Muppet funny. Show, man. Like, if you watch the original airing of Phenomena,
yeah.
Like, who knew that that was going to become a cultural phenomenon? Thing. Like, yeah. It's just, but it's hilarious,
That's
man.
It's hilarious. There was, I was watching one clip of, I think it was Bert and Ernie. It was Frank Oz and Jim Henson doing things.
Yeah.
And it may have been Bert and Ernie. And Bert is interrogating Ernie about, like, why does he have a circle on the table? It's to remind him to eat a donut, which is to remind him.
Right.
And it's Ernie logic that goes on for 3 minutes to remind him to do something when it's, like, it's hilarious. But Bert, at one point, he's like, and what is this for? I ask foolishly, like clearly an ad lib by Frank Oz. And it's like, it's just the way he said, I hesitantly ask foolishly. Like it was just,
go
you
back
know,
and check out some of that stuff, man.
So
I
funny.
I haven't revisited there was Sesame Street in a long time.
There was one where there's a ringing of a phone. The phone's ringing and Ernie's got like a big thing of laundry and Bert's like, Ernie, where's the phone? The phone's ringing, Ernie. And Ernie's like, oh, I don't know. And he's pulling things out of this basket and it's like a lamp. And he's like, oh, that's not a phone. He's like, he pulls out like a basketball. Oh, that's not a phone. And the thing's still ringing. And then he pulls out a banana. And then he's like, oh, here we go. Then he puts the banana up to his phone. And Bert's like, Ernie, that's a banana, not a phone. And he's like, hello? And Ernie's talking into it. And he's like, oh, Bert? Oh, yeah, he's right here. And then he hands it to Bert. And right as he hands it to Bert, Bert starts trying to talk into it, and he's like, hello? Hello? Is anybody there? And it cuts to Ernie on the real phone, and he's like, Bert, no, he's busy talking to a banana.
Right now. Oh, my gosh.
So stupid and funny. It's so funny, though.
It's making me feel giddy. I'm going to go back and watch some of that.
It's so funny. Oh, man, that was funny.
it is funny. It's so funny
to just talk about. Now, I'm going to skip ahead here real quick to since we're, you know, we're on the topic of TV shows, and Sesame Street is a TV show. Hulu has a show out called Deadbeat. Hulu obviously is an internet television source of content.
Yes.
And you are the star of a Hulu television show called Deadbeat, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, real quick, basically it's you portray a medium who talks to ghosts.
Yeah, I'm like a sort of a down on his luck drug addicted medium who doesn't have no idea that this is a monetizable skill and just kind of ekes his way through life. More like this is a bit of a curse.
Okay.
It's kind of been put upon him and he's like, oh God, I got to help this ghost again. But it's a riot, man. It's really funny. It's the being there of medium parody shows.
I love it. now I remember seeing billboards all over town.
I heard. I wasn't here, fortunately.
Yeah, you were filming. Was it Tomorrowland you were filming? Or what
no,
were
I was going to do that, and I bailed on that.
Oh, you bailed on that.
To do another, was it to do Deadbeat? Yeah, it was to do Deadbeat. And then, no, I just took off to shoot a movie with my brother called Mountain Men, and I had to go out to the mountains of BC.
Oh, exciting.
Far, far away. And I was getting all these texts and emails and
everywhere.
Pictures, and it was like, oh, my God.
Everywhere. I could not escape
Hollywood
your face.
Hollywood and Vine, like 10 stories
buses
high.
Buses and
crazy,
everything.
Man.
And the ad, featured you with a balloon for a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I got some facts here about balloons.
Oh, cool.
But before I get into these facts about balloons, while we're on the topic of ghosts, our mutual friend, Joel David Moore, texted me today.
Nice little segue there.
He texted me today, and he says, ask him about the story of you guys going around a haunted, I believe it was a haunted graveyard or what? Let me.
Yeah, I mean, like.
It was a, let's see here. I'll read the text real quick because it's funny. He's he's like, ask him about the crazy ghost tour we took through a Savannah graveyard, where I believe both of us relieved ourselves along the way, scared as shit as to what would happen.
Yeah,
we were worried about
we were worried about what was going to happen to our dicks, for sure. I don't know what those ghosts eat. You know, it could be dicks for all I know. But I just showed up in Savannah to shoot this movie with Joel. He was directing it. You know,
sure Killing
you know.
Winston Jones.
Killing Winston Jones with Richard Dreyfuss. Danny Glover.
Yep.
Also
Danny Masterson, right? I think
Danny Masterson, John Heder.
Yeah.
Ali Michalka. Who else was in that movie? I'm forgetting somebody big. Leslie Ann Brandt.
It was a great cast.
It was awesome. Anyway, Joel contacted me and was like, hey, come out to Savannah. So I did.
Yeah.
And shot for like 3 weeks. And the night I got in, they were like, hey, we're taking this graveyard tour in Savannah. And I was like, fucking cool. Let's go. I love that kind of stuff. But we'd already been drinking quite a bit. And in the car on the way there, we were drinking. Like, and I was like, oh, you can have open alcohol in Savannah. And they're like, no, I don't think so. But I don't know. Maybe you can. I can't remember. Yeah. But I thought we were just going to like wander around a graveyard. Yeah. But there's this guy who's there as our you know, our tour guide. It's late at night. Maybe it's like 11. Maybe it was midnight. And we're all inappropriately intoxicated, like by a long shot, especially me and Joel. And we just sort of like, we couldn't have misbehaved more. This guy, and we thought, oh, this is like, this is the way you do it. You go to these, I mean, who else is going to go to a fucking graveyard tour at midnight?
Yeah.
Everyone's drinking and not like fuck around. And this guy just was like really not happy. And and besides him, there was like a follow-up guy who was behind us kind of being like, can I keep it moving? Like, be quiet, be quiet.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were like a bunch of kids on a field trip that had access to a bunch of alcohol. And we just like, we're kind of like doing everything, pushing all the buttons to see what we could, you know, the kind of rise we got out of this guy. Yeah. And then very legitimately, me and Joel were both just like, I got to pee. Like, is there a bathroom around here? And I don't know if it was Joel or me, but one of us decided, well, let's just piss in the graveyard. Like, I used to do it all the time. You know, like, it's just a park with people buried in it.
Yeah.
And so we both like took a slash right there in the middle of the graveyard. And the guy, the follow up guy, was like, what are you guys doing? And we like ran. I don't know how many gravestones we stepped on, but we like ran, putting our dicks away, probably pissing on the bottom of our pants and like trying to get away from it and laughing and just being like such assholes, man. And then we finished the tour. And the guy, the dude that was giving the tour, was very vocal about his displeasure, his disappointment in the group. And we kind of got kicked out. And we were like, all right, whatever. And then I found out 2 weeks later that, like, the guy wrote Joel, like, a crazy hate letter. And was like, if you guys ever show up here again, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And that was the most inappropriate behavior I've ever seen. And relieving yourself in a graveyard is, like, to him, that was, like,
sacrilege.
That was the worst. It's not like we peed on a gravestone. We just peed nearby. I wish I had more memory of the actual event. But
no ghosts or no
noises? No. Oh, yeah. Well, there was plenty of, like, we were all getting scared.
Yeah.
You know, but it's hard to be scared when there's, like, 20 of you wandering through a graveyard drunk with flashlights. And we're all, you know, even if you were scared, we were laughing at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was,
It's one thing to do that, like, with a group. I feel like if you're going to walk around a haunted graveyard, it's got to be like
you,
three people,
or just you,
no flashlights, the light of the moon. By the light, how's that song go?
Of the moon. But Savannah, I gotta say, is, and I think I can vouch for this, the most haunted place in North America. Isn't that what they say? I think that's what they say. It's the most haunted place.
I can maybe see that.
Due to the yellow fever, I think it was called.
Okay, yeah.
So at one point, this like crazy flu, I guess, yellow fever came through. And they have the largest mass grave in North America in Savannah.
Oh, wow.
Dug right beside this old prison that John Heater went on a tour.
Oh, that's got to be haunted.
And he said, without a doubt, he was being like spoken to and poked and prodded by ghosts and like freaked out. And he's Mormon, so he was like, I don't believe in any of this stuff. But he was getting, you know,
he was
getting something was going on. And at our hotel in Savannah, I'm really susceptible to like night terrors and sleepwalking and all this stuff. And sometimes it just goes to this very weird demon, like demonic dark place. And it's usually only when I can feel like these echoes or whatever in the city or the actual hotel I'm in, or even more specifically the room. But man, in Savannah, it was like I did crazy shit at night. It was like I couldn't get a night of sleep. I got an eye twitch. I started to lose my mind. I thought like it worked for the movie.
Yeah.
I think I remember Joel even remarking, being like, you've changed, man. This role has changed you, man. I was like, no sleep. And the ghosts in my room have changed me. But yeah.
Who is this Tyler you speak of?
I don't know. He's gone.
He's gone. There is no Tyler, only Zool.
No. Man. But yeah, Savannah was a trip. And again, back to the racism thing. Savannah is maybe the most openly racist place I've ever been to in my life. Just where you like...
Racist ghosts.
Yeah. Well, racist ghosts. Oh, certainly those ghosts are racist, man. But there's still a very, like, a very clear and apparent hierarchy.
Yeah.
You know, like all the employees at restaurants are all black. And there's like, I remember this is the only place I've ever been to where I was walking down the road by myself and two big black guys crossed the street to get away from me when I was walking towards them on the street. You know what I mean? It was just like this weird, it's like this still this very sort of it's like, weird. Don't you don't bother me, I won't bother you kind of thing.
Isn't it weird how there are towns that are still kind of like in a time bubble? Like
it trips me out, man. Like
it's so weird. It's like
just not to, like that. Where
catch
I come
the
from,
fuck
you know?
Up. It's the future, man.
Yeah, we're living in the future right now.
Yeah,
it's just the not. Is and now, it's man. Just not. Not that Canada is like free of, racism or bigotry or anything, but certainly less people would provide a less racist environment. Yeah. I think. So I didn't grow up with that. I was very it's a mixing pot. It's a very small mixing pot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We get to know everybody, but a here welcoming it's like, holy shit. Yeah, it was weird.
Cool. Alrighty, back to I got some few facts about some balloons here. I'll rattle through these balloons. This was interesting to me. I was originally trying to look up Mylar balloons, but then I got into science and a bunch of words I couldn't pronounce because of the chemical makeup of these silver shiny Mylar balloons you think of when you.
All right, is Mylar the like the big the ones that never deflate?
Yeah, those are like the big silver ones that last for a long time.
The ones that have been on the ceiling of a Chuck E. Cheese for like 18 years. Yeah, right? Been up there for a while. Okay.
So the rubber balloon, the typical rubber balloon you think of, was invented by a gentleman by the name of Michael Faraday in 1824 during the course of experiments he used with various gases. Hot air balloons, the first hot air balloon capable of carrying passengers used hot air to obtain buoyancy and was built by the brothers Joseph and Etienne Montgolfier and Annonay, France.
That is a name, man.
Some names. So
Etienne Montgolfier. Now, I do have one question.
Okay.
Do you think the advent of the rubber balloon was before the hot air balloon? Because I feel like...
I don't think it was. I don't think it was because
has to be
hot air balloon has been around for a while. If I didn't put dates on here, but the hot air balloon, I think, was in like the 1700s.
Yeah, because you said 1824 for the rubber balloon. I was like,
yeah, well, because that was also, rubber was, to be able to mold rubber
was a newer,
that's a newer thing. Like, they didn't have, rubber in the 1700s or
that's some
like
crazy
that.
Shit.
You think of, like, Around the World in 80 Days, and, that took place.
Yeah, I guess that was a stupid question.
No, there are no stupid questions.
I just thought maybe around the same time, the idea of building a balloon that you could
I don't have the
travel in may have been inspired.
Do you have a date there, Aristotle?
November 21st, 1783.
Was the first hot air balloon?
So not that long after, some guy was like, hey, I'm going to make a small rubber
almost like 50 years. Almost 50, about that. 60 years, 50 years, 40 years. and when heated... the air expands. This is I never really knew this. I always thought like hot air was lighter than air, which it is, but there's a reason for that, and it's because the air expands when heated. Air expands, so in a given space volume of space, it actually contains less air, which then makes it lighter than air, and its lifting power is greater than the weight of the balloon. So you have the balloon, right? And when you heat the air up inside it, it expands the air.
Yeah.
Which means there's less air actually taking up the whole space of the balloon. So if you have the air outside of the balloon.
Oh, because the air is expanded. So it's lighter than the air outside of the balloon.
Exactly.
Got it.
And then that forces it to lift up.
I always wondered why there is a giant hole at the top of an air balloon, though.
Is there?
Yeah, they all have that. They have that big hole at the top because I feel like maybe
it's to
escape. I don't know. Keep it sort of
probably
flowing.
Here's where it goes. So that's why because as it expands, it needs to give. It would explode the balloon.
It would explode the balloon.
In theory, if you're heating it and expanding it from the bottom, there's no way for the expansion to go.
See, the simple answers for questions I've had my whole life. You just kind of like, I don't talk about this very often.
And that's
I don't sit around and say, hey, I wonder why, do you know why there's a hole in the top of an air balloon? And you just nailed it.
Yeah, that's got to be.
I'm leaving here with a lot of knowledge. Yeah, I have learned some stuff today.
It's a little fun, fun idea for a show, I think. And then the Montgolfier's early hot air balloons used a solid fuel brazier, which proved less practical than the hydrogen balloons that had followed almost immediately after.
Yeah.
So for a while they used hydrogen balloons, but then in the 1950s, since bottled gas was getting cheaper and cheaper, there was a revival of hot air balloons.
Hydrogen balloons were like basically bombs too.
Yeah, they? Yeah, they were just a balloon, yeah. And then they were tethered.
Waiting to explode.
They were like
yeah.
round things, you know, or weird shapes, mm-hmm. you know, and then tethered to like carousels or tethered, you know,
yeah,
tethered to boxes
or like zeppelins. Those were
yeah
ill conceived. Oh I think. Man, bad ideas.
Fact about Zeppelin: the steeple on the Empire State Building was constructed as a loading and unloading
Bullshit.
Dock for Zeppelins.
Oh,
they created that because they wanted when it was built. Zeppelins were a thing, and they're like, oh, this like, is going to be the forefront
the of
travel.
Yeah. People getting dropped off on the tip of the what is it? Which one? The
Empire State.
Empire State.
Yeah.
Now, we just blew past this.
Yeah,
I blew past this. I thought this was neat. I was reading about a book on the Sears Tower.
Yes.
Now named the Willis Tower, and the design was supposedly inspired by how cigarettes came out of a pack.
Yes.
I totally can see that, man.
Yeah, I'm pulling up a picture right now to show both of us, but if you're at a computer... look up a picture of the Sears Tower.
As soon as I read that, and, I was like, "Oh shit! Yeah, it totally looks."
And
like
it was designed the it was the book of, you know, I was reading about it, you know, online a book of it, and it's a
it's like a soft pack.
It's like a soft pack of cigarettes. Like when you pull out a cigarette, a bunch of others slowly fold out next to it. And that was the designing that was the inspiration for the design of the Sears Tower.
At least that part of it.
That part of it. Anyways, yeah. Yeah, it'll also go up in smoke. No, knock on wood, that it won't.
No, let's not. Let's not.
No,
poor New York.
Poor New York.
Yeah, let's leave him alone.
But yeah, the Zeppelin, that steeple on there. Now, a couple things really quick. We'll wrap this up here. But I want to get back to some Canada, some facts about lakes. But
sweet.
Prior to that, I got a fun fact about. It's a huge segue. You were a star in the reboot of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, man.
Rise of the Apes, Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Now, prior to that reboot, there was a reboot, Planet of the Apes, starring Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Now, Mark Wahlberg was in a movie called by the name of Booty Nights. Boogie Nights.
Booty Nights.
Boogie Nights. Boogie Nights.
I was like, fuck, I gotta see Boogie Nights.
It's the sequel to
it's the prequel.
It's a prequel.
It's the prequel, yeah.
He plays a high school student who's making he's taking theater classes.
Nice.
No.
Dirk Diggler wiggling into his body for the first time.
So Mark Wahlberg was in Boogie Nights, and in Boogie Nights, he sang a song. This is a huge stretch, but it makes sense to where I'm going. Mark Wahlberg is in a movie coming out this summer, a sequel to Transformers. So Mark Wahlberg is in a Transformers movie now. The song he was recording in Boogie Nights called The Touch
was in the
off
cartoon.
Of the cartoon movie, The Transformers.
That. Yeah, I remember because my buddy bought me the Transformers movie on VHS.
Yeah.
As like a here's a funny retro gift. And he was like, there's an Easter egg. And I didn't really know what Easter eggs were.
Yeah.
And I put it on, and it's like the main song in the cartoon is "You Got the Touch." It's not much better than the version they're doing in the movie.
I'm gonna try and pull up a clip of it here real quick if I can find it here. But yeah, in Boogie Nights, Mark Wahlberg's character wants to be like a singer, a famous pop singer. So he was singing the song "You Got the Touch," which was
a cover
of Mark Wahlberg's. It was a cover of the main one from the Transformers movie.
Transformers cartoon.
Let's see if I can see if this works without an ad here.
And it is really funny because the cartoon version is not much better than the version on Boogie Nights. You got the touch. That could be him.
Yeah. You got the power.
It's a little better. A little better than Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, he does say yes.
Yeah! So 80s. Goddamn.
I remember I couldn't figure it out at first. I was like, is this like a joke copy of this movie that my buddy, because he would do something like that. You know, he would like I could figure out a way to record that song.
That'd be so funny to like give somebody a DVD, but change the soundtrack to be like all the shitty cover songs of it.
Oh, man. That would be, that's a really
funny.
Good idea.
That's funny.
That would be a fun idea.
Mark Wahlberg basically is The Touch was released as a double A-side with Weird Al Yankovic's Dare to Be Stupid, which was also from the soundtrack.
I know Dare to Be Stupid.
It was they were in that junkyard, the junk in the movie.
In the movie,
in the junkyard, yeah.
Man, I'm a Weird Al fanatic.
He's got a new album coming out.
He does?
Yeah, good. Mandatory
I just said,
Fun in
I think
July,
like 2 days ago. I was like, when is Weird Al coming out the new?
Yeah, July. You Got the Touch was released in 1987. On Stan Bush and Barrage's self-titled album, the song was originally written for Sylvester Stallone film Cobra.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be on the soundtrack.
That's that would have been a good fit.
Yeah.
That would have been a good... That's a shame. It's a shame that it went...
Get away from the car.
That's
hey, man, that's our parking spot.
Yeah, okay, it was.
Stallone, you got to, like, you know, get away from... You, I can't. Get away from the car.
Cool. He had the toothpick and the aviators on all movie.
It's a good thing we're not trying to be action heroes, guys. Yeah.
Hey, man, I can deliver some good lines. Like,
give me your best if you can.
If I can't, okay. What's the
scenario?
Your
best, like, one-liner... Well, like some shit that you've always, if you could say it.
If I could say it.
And be like taken seriously in a movie. Yeah. You have one chance to get like a franchise one-liner.
Okay.
Like, I'll be back or.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was thinking about this the other day and it's a long setup for this, but like the criminals would be like a mafia that runs a taxi company.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, like they're egging me on to come and save the day. And then after I just killed a bunch of these taxi car drivers, I'd say something like, "Who's yellow now?"
Wow,
because I
like
stupid.
It. No, I like it. I like it.
So
mine's really simple.
What's yours?
It's like, fuck is my favorite word. I love it. And the idea of somebody literally fucking themselves is really humorous to me.
It's very funny.
And I think it would have to be a scene in a movie where I've like. You know, shoved a guy's own dick up his ass, cut it off and shoved it, or made him do it. And I'm like, now it's your turn to go fuck yourself, Johnny. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's your turn to go fuck yourself, Johnny.
What is this, in 1986?
Like, yeah, 70s. No, it was the 70s. This is 70s. Like, it was like 78 Scorsese.
70 Scorsese.
Go fuck yourself, cool. Johnny. Hand him his own dick.
There you go.
Go fuck yourself, Johnny.
That's a good one.
That's pretty good. It's probably been done.
Cool. Quick facts about some lakes about Canada, then we'll get you out of here.
Cool facts about lakes.
That's a segment we like to call Cool Facts About Lakes.
We need like a...
You got the lake.
Cool facts about lakes.
You got the lake. Hey, you got the lakes. Dun, dun, dun. You got the water.
Great lakes. Oh, nice, nice, nice.
You got the water.
All types of bodies of water.
Yeah. That's so dumb.
But that's what makes it beautiful.
I love it.
And honest.
Canada. Fun fact about Canada. Canada has more lakes than the rest of the world.
Is that true?
Supposedly, according to Wikipedia.
Most of them must be over in the east.
The east.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Ontario.
If you think about it, they're also, you know, in the forefront of where glaciers were and all of that. So as they're receding and melting.
Sure. I guess there'll be a lot in BC, too. We have a lot of lakes, yeah.
There is enough. Canada shares the border of shares a lake with Michigan called Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Superior, there is supposedly enough water in Lake Superior to cover the entire landmass of North and South America to a depth of around 12 inches.
Holy
supposedly,
shit.
Yeah.
Let's hope that it never decides to do that.
To do that,
because that would be bad for everybody.
If Waterworld is the revenge of Lake Superior,
but just in North and South America,
water hemisphere, water northern western hemisphere. It is generally
superior now, bitch. You're buried up to your ankles. 12 inches of water everywhere. All right.
It's about to get wet. You'll wet yourself.
But just like annoyingly wet. Not enough to like really do a lot of damage, but 12 inches of water.
Lake Superior is generally considered the largest freshwater lake in the world by surface area. Now, the Caspian Sea is often regarded as the largest, but it also contains an oceanic basin. So technically, the Lake Superior is the largest lake with surface area. Now, I got that. I got some facts, but we'll go down the list since we're bringing up the largest lake by surface area. Lake Superior, located in Canada and the U.S., is the largest by surface area. We have Lake Victoria, which is the second. It's located in Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. It's the largest lake in Africa, Lake Victoria, the second largest lake by surface area.
No, Huron's in there, and then you got Huron.
And then we got Huron, which is fourth and fifth.
Been to Huron.
In Michigan, yep. And then we have Lake Tanganyika, which is listed as sixth
in surface
area. Why'd you
skip your hometown lake
there? Lake Michigan and Huron, fourth and fifth,
same
the Great
thing.
Lakes.
Yeah.
Everybody knows those.
But one actually has the word Michigan in it. I thought you might want to relish in that opportunity.
Fair enough. Lake Michigan listed number fifth in surface area. Lake if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Tanganyika is listed sixth in surface area. It's located in Tanzania, Zambia, Republic of Congo, and Burundi. Now, Lake Tanganyika is the second deepest lake in the world, and it's also the longest lake in the world, and it is also the second largest lake by volume. So it's the sixth by surface area, but it's the second largest lake by sheer water content.
Hmm.
Now, the first... by water,
it gets
content.
Into all the nooks and crannies. That lake. Yeah, yeah. It gets everywhere.
The first being Lake Baikal, located in Russia. It's the seventh largest lake by surface area,
Baikal.
But it's the deepest lake in the world.
Wow.
The deepest lake in the world is Lake Baikal, located in Russia.
And do we have a depth? I'm curious. I want to know how deep the deepest lake in the world is.
Aristotle, can you pull it up?
Because I'm imagining some lakes could get
pretty deep.
Pretty deep.
Yeah. If I remember, I think it was like 1,500 feet, I think, maybe.
That's a deep lake.
15 miles, maybe? Not 15 miles. That's a deep fucking lake.
In a freshwater lake. I don't know how fresh the water at the bottom is going to be in 15 miles.
Baikal, right?
Baikal.
B-A-I-K-A-L. Lake Baikal.
Baikal. Lake Baikal.
The motherland. We go to Lake Baikal for a summer vacation.
That's good.
I can do
that's
Russia.
Good.
I can
you
do
sound like a Russian with a cold.
I can do it.
We go to Lake Baikal in Russia. In motherland.
It gets cold.
Motherland. We get mother Russia.
Do you have some Ricola I could borrow, please?
I like mother Russia. In mother Russia.
5,387 feet.
Oh, 5,000 feet.
So
5,000.
Over a mile.
Yep.
Well,
no.
Wait. What a mile
is? 5,420.
Is it
a mile? 5,120. How many feet is in a mile, Aristotle?
That's quickly.
I think it's 5,120. I think something like that.
I thought it was around. Yeah, just over the 5,000 mark.
5,280.
Okay, 5,280.
And how deep was Baikal?
5,300.
Yeah, just over.
Okay, just over a mile. I didn't hear the 300.
All right.
Tyler's right. I concede.
I concede.
Baikal is my motherland's lake.
I envision like a Russian Fargo where everybody has a cold.
I imagine like a titty summer titty comedy centered around Lake Baikal with all Russian guys with like bad sort of Yakov Smirnoff jokes.
Borkies. Borkies
on the beach.
Lake Baikal we call Borkies.
Now back to Canada. So Lake Baikal is the seventh largest lake by area and the largest lake in the world, holding the most fresh water in the world. And it's also the deepest lake in the world. Now back to Canada. The Great Bear Lake is listed as the eighth largest lake by area.
I've never even heard of that lake.
It's located in the Northwest Territories.
Oh, that's why.
Which is, I realize, is way north in Canada and a huge chunk of land.
We don't really consider that in Canada. We're sort of like, that's uninhabitable for Canadians.
It's
like,
so
that
high
shit.
And cold, and it's the fourth largest lake in North America.
I mean, I'm exaggerating. There are many, many wonderful cities in the Northwest Territories, but I just don't go there.
Yeah. So, some fun facts about lakes in Canada. And we got to get you out of here. We got to get you out of here soon.
I would like to say one thing about Deadbeat.
Absolutely. Promote yourself. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would
as we wrap here with the facts and quotation marks.
Yeah.
Now is the part of the episode where you sell yourself.
Shameless plug wrap up.
Anything you want to talk about, take as much time as you need.
I'm gonna say it's super
whatever.
Like cavalier, like I'm getting ready to leave. Yeah,
no,
so,
take your time. Yeah.
I don't know. It was like this. Deadbeat is there's a second season coming for Deadbeat, which is my show on Hulu Plus. And if you can't afford the $8 a month for Hulu Plus, shame on you. Go get it. Come on. It's awesome. Hulu Plus is a really, really great streaming platform. They have everything. They are definitely rivaling Netflix for me these days. Okay. And I'm not just saying that because they're my employers. They're awesome. But yeah, Hulu Plus season 2 is going into production in September. And I have a few movies currently on Netflix. Okay. But the newest one is called Someone Marry Barry.
Okay.
With me and Thomas Middleditch, with Damon Wayans Jr., Ed Helms, Brett Gelman, I'm sorry, I do that all the time. Brett Gelman, a bunch of really, really funny people in that movie. Hayes MacArthur, Frankie Shaw, just really good, good movie. And check it out.
I think then you have you have your the Mountain Men coming out.
Yeah, I just shot a two-hander dramatic sort of film with my brother, who wrote and directed it, Cameron Levine. Okay. It's called Mountain Men. It stars me and Chase Crawford of Gossip Girl fame. In a really cool turn for him. Like he came to us wanting to try something very different, and my brother and I were skeptical. We were like, well, you know,
yeah,
you're on a primetime soap opera for 7 years or whatever, but he nailed it. He's really a great actor and good dude. And it's a two-hander where it's the two of us. He gets injured really badly on the top of a mountain, and we have to get off the mountain alive.
Okay.
It's cool. It's a very different role for me, very different role for Chase. And that just wrapped filming like a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and now I'm off to go shoot a new movie in Toronto with Gael Garcia Bernal, which is like the best name to say. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Allison Pill, Don McKellar, and Jen Irwin, I think her name is.
Okay. But
yeah, really cool movie called Zoom. It's based on a graphic novel, so it's gonna be really cool.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah,
really fun. Fun time.
Yeah, man.
And then you can follow Tyler on Twitter.
Yes,
at Tyler Labine.
At Ty Labine. And then you can, if you want to take it a step further, you can follow my balls on Twitter.
Okay.
At Tyler Labine's balls. Lots of really great pictures on that. yeah, mostly scenic stuff. Scenic stuff, yeah. But anyway, follow my balls and they'll follow you back. That's my guarantee.
That's your guarantee.
You will be followed by my balls.
I will do that. Tyler Labine's balls, at Ty Labine on Twitter.
Instagram,
check out, go on Netflix, watch Someone Marry Barry. Go on Hulu, watch Deadbeat. The new season, do you have a date for the new season? Or?
No, it'll probably be around the same time next year, like April will come out.
Okay.
But it's most of the episodes are on Hulu for free right now without subscribing.
Okay.
But I don't think you can get them all yet. Okay. And it's 10 episodes. I'm a binge watcher. I know what I'm talking about. It's very binge worthy.
Yeah.
It's a super easy to binge. 10 episodes, 23 minutes each. Just dig in. Do
perfect.
It. Yeah.
Wonderful. As usual, you can follow the show on Twitter at TWL Podcast. If you got a fun fact or trivia, or just want to tell us how much you hate us, send us at TWLPodcast@gmail.com. You can follow
Mark those ones urgent.
Yep, urgent must read. You can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle2. You can follow Dan, who's not here, at OsteoFerocious. You can like us on Facebook. Today we learned with Razzle and Dan. Once again, we appreciate all you guys listening and telling your friends about us. And if you get a chance, please leave us a like or a review of sorts on the iTunes. Keep us on those charts. And as always, Boston baked beans are a horrible candy.
Bullshit. Nothing of nutritional value in that.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.